Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, September 9th, 2013. Is that what year it is, 2013? Absolutely it is. How's it going? How are you? Did you have a good week? I'm fucking out of it because I had to get up at 5 o'clock this morning, and I had to do a bunch of phoners for upcoming shows, you know, answering all the questions. Some good, some bad, some repetitive. But, you know, it's what you do as a professional. You answer them every time like it's the first time. So how do you come up with your material? Is it something, do you write every day, or is it more spur of the moment? What strikes you as funny? And then you got to go into it. Well, you know, I used to write, now I don't. I just got a fucking, you know, fucking teardrop coming out of your eye. But whatever. So here I am. I'm fucking groggy. You know what sucks is I used to be a morning person. I really did. But granted, I also used to go to bed at like fucking 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Because when I was a young fella, a little lad with orange hair, running around the playground trying not to get the shit kicked out of me whilst bullying people smaller than me. That's how you did it back then. Right? You beat the shit out of me. I can't beat the shit out of you. I have this awful feeling. Oh, I'll take it out on that little kid over there smaller than me. That's the way it was done. It was the 70s. There wasn't social networking. Okay? People couldn't get on and be like, hey, sign this petition, man, and let's end the bullying. It wasn't. You just had to go to school every day and you fucking took it. And no local news reporter came down and I didn't get to go on the fucking TV with my stupid freckle face, you know, lower bottom lip quivering as I tell the story of somebody who beat the shit out of me. Nobody cared. All right? That was it. So anyways, now I'm in this fucking business, so I'm not a morning person. I used to have a paper route, everybody. I used to get up at the crack of fucking dawn, you know, jump on a bicycle, be pitch black out in the wintertime, freezing my fucking small balls off, prepubescent, how do you say that word, fucking balls off, you know, nostrils sticking together, and nobody gave a shit. This is back when a child did that job that nowadays an adult has to do the job, either because the dollar is so fucking weak or because that Chris Hansen has everybody so paranoid that there's some pervert with his dick out behind every goddamn tree out there. That's why you got fat kids, right? Did I do a bit about this back in my fucking earlier stand-up days? I can't even remember. I'm so tired right now. But yeah, we used to do that shit. Parents didn't hover over children. Didn't have play dates, none of that shit. What it was your mom fed you, and then there would be, you know, she'd get sick of you right around when, like, the game show started coming on, and then she would just open the door and just be like, you kids need to go outside. Go outside. And you just go outside. And there was other kids that were also banished to go outside. And then you'd link up. And then you just went about your business. You fought. You tied kids to trees. You threw fireworks at them. You played with matches. You threw shit in people's pools. You vandalized a new house that was being built. You know, sweet, innocent fun. Like Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer. That's what the fuck you did. But those days are all gone now. You keep kids inside. And you feed them. And you get them big and fat. That's what you do. Well, that was the bit. You get them so fat that they're unfuckable. Right? Isn't that what it was? I can't remember. Well, what if there's a pervert who's into fat kids? You know, there's a lot of holes in my jokes this week, people. I'm not going to lie to you. So anyways, I hope you guys had a good week. How great is it that NFL football's back? Da, 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 da. I actually went to the Denver Broncos... Who the hell did they play? The Ravens. So I get into this big text battle with Paul Verzi. Paul Verzi's going like, dude, it's a lock. Take Denver. Given 10 points. It's a lock. Dude, I called it and all this type of shit, right? Typical Verzi. And I'm sitting there going like, Paul, it's the first week of the season. Nothing's a fucking lock. You have no idea. Okay? You're throwing a fucking, yeah, I don't know. You're throwing a boat into the ocean. All right? It's not even an expression. But I like it, okay? If you can't do the math on that, I can't fucking help you, all right? Anyways, so he's telling me it's a fucking lock, and I'm just going like, you know, 10 points. I know Ed Reed's not there. I know Ray Lewis isn't there. They still got a defense. They still got Joe Flacco. They got Ray Rice. I mean, Ray Rice can eat up a lot of goddamn clock. And as good as Peyton Manning is, if he doesn't have the ball, what the fuck's he going to do? So and another thing that bugged me was everyone on ESPN was picking the Broncos. Paul Verzi's picking the Broncos. Everybody I know is saying the Broncos are going to kill him. Like this fucking team wasn't just in the Super Bowl last year beating the 49ers. Getting 10 points, so I said, fuck it. I think the Ravens are going to win. Well, not win. I think that they're going to cover. And the first half went exactly how I said it was going to go. Ray Rice was running all over the place, chewing up the fucking clock. Joe Flacco never looked good, but he was looking good enough. Defense had a big hit right in the beginning. And things were looking all right. And then the second half came. And it was over. Broncos were like, all right, we can't run. Let's go into a hurry-up offense. Joe Flacco looks like he hasn't thrown a fucking ball since the last one he threw in the Super Bowl. He's got his big contract. He got married. Let's say we blitz him every other play and see how he deals with this shit. And they fucking didn't make any adjustments. And I sat there watching one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time have one of the greatest performances of all time. And I could not enjoy it just sitting there knowing that Paul Verzi was going to be right and I was going to be wrong. And I was literally sitting there fuming for like 24 fucking hours that the fucking Ravens had no answer to the Broncos' halftime adjustments. The fact that I was fucking sitting there with Paul Verzi, I mean, with Jason Lawhead, going like, dude, the Broncos can't run the ball. They should just fucking throw it now. And throw it to the sidelines because he's fucking picking them apart. It's exactly what the fuck they did. I thought What's-His-Face was going to settle down. Jesus Christ, Joe Flacco, I finally believe in the guy. Never believed in the guy. I know it's only 1 week, but he looked fucking horrific. So I'm not saying he's going to be horrific all year. But anyways, long story short, I had a great time. And I really should have enjoyed watching Peyton Manning throw for 7 touchdowns because that was a legendary performance in any era, even with the new rules of passing where you're just supposed to escort the fucking receiver down the field and get out of the way when the quarterback underthrows him and shit. It was still an unbelievable performance. And I was actually had great seats. And he threw a couple of fucking balls. Like they looked like they were coming at our seats. And, you know, the receiver came back and caught him. You just got to see the speed of the NFL and how fucking accurate Manning was. It was amazing to watch it if I wasn't such a fucking grumpy cunt during the game. And I got to tell you, I actually enjoyed watching the Patriots trying to figure out what we're going to do now on offense now that Gronk is hurt and Hernandez is looking at some serious jail time. I don't know. I actually enjoyed watching them play the fucking Bills. I got to see a whole other level. That's what it's going to be this year. It's going to be watching Brady do what he does best, which is make people around him even better. And that's what the truly great ones can do, you know? And that's why I have issues with some people that they say are great, but they're just individually great. They don't make people better around them. In fact, they borderline annoy people around them, Kobe Bryant. But, you know, I'm not going to name names. So, I don't know. We shall see. This is going to be a tough season for, I think, the Patriots. I don't know how good we're going to be this year. It is early on, but I'm all right with it. This is when you actually become a true fan. When your team isn't a fucking lock. And I like that quarterback that the Bills had, E.J. Manuel. I like the fact, is that his last name? I can't even remember. But the fact that the guy can fucking run. But he didn't seem, like, he only ran as a last, like, ditch. Like, I just got to fucking run. He seemed like he tried to use his speed more to stay in the pocket and throw. So they look pretty goddamn good to me. And that's it for my boring-ass football talk. How'd you like that, everybody? How about a funny story, Bill? All right. How about the fact that I have a bruise on my back the size of a fucking softball? How'd you get that, Bill? Well, I decided to go hiking in the Rocky Mountains in the beautiful state of Colorado. I went up there with Rose Bowl legend Jason Lawhead. You know, we went up there like we were on a second date. Let's go on a hike. Do you like hiking too? I'm so excited. So we decided to go on this fucking hike. And I'm nervous. going into the Rocky Mountains because I'm thinking they got bear, you know, fucking elk, barracuda, whatever the fuck they got up in there. You know what I mean? This is the real deal. This isn't like the fucking Hollywood Hills out here where, you know, I'm going to run into fucking Kevin Bacon before I run into any sort of fucking, you know, I'm going to run into fucking Louis De Palma before I run into even a bobcat out here. That's all it is. Maybe Lee Majors. If he's in a bad mood, maybe he'll fucking throw something at me. That's the worst I have to worry about out here. These are the fucking Rocky Mountains. All right? These are the mountains that they create Coors Light with. This is the real deal. So we're going in there, you know, with nothing but fucking, you know, our workout clothes. I have no weapon on me. Everything is telling me this is fucking stupid. And we're in Boulder, Colorado, which I'm telling you, man, Boulder, Colorado, arguably the best, the most in shape people I've ever seen in my fucking life. We were sitting there walking up this hiking trail, and we're all, you know, there's a part of me, I'm fucking nervous because I haven't gone up there. I'm with somebody who hasn't gone up here. This has all the makings of one of those Reader's Digest, I almost fucking died stories that they have in there. And all of a sudden, this fucking lady, she had to be in her late 50s, comes running down the trail, people. Not walking, running. Wearing those sneakers that look like feet that are fucking annoying, but you have to look at them. With a spring in her step. Like Walter Payton running on the balls of her feet. Came running by, barely breaking a sweat. Big smile, fucking glow in her face. Hadn't let life beat her down or anything. It was unbelievable. And I'm like, and me and Jay, at that point we'd been in Boulder for like 3 days. We did the show at the Boulder Theater, did two shows that were fucking awesome. Unbelievable crowds, great theater, part of the Billy Red State Tour, the rescheduled one, and everybody showed up and it was awesome. The next day we went to the Broncos game, and then this was the morning we were going to drive down to Colorado Springs. We were like, well, we got to work off all the booze we drank at the Broncos game. So we decided to go on this fucking hike, all right? All right, I'm back on track here. So we go into the wilderness with no weapons or anything. And, you know, I'm nervous. I mean, that lady running by made me feel good. But for half a second, I'm like, is she running from a mountain lion? Because people where I'm from in their early 30s can't run that fast. So we go up the hill, and it's just amazing. It's fucking amazing. Like, it's so beautiful, you're like whispering. Like, oh, my God, look at those fucking, look at the view. Like that type of shit, right? But I'm also nervous. Like, I just got this feeling, like, I don't know, like, I just don't want to get my face ripped off. I mean, call me weird. Call me a coward. I don't give a shit. Getting mauled is not on my bucket list, okay? That just sounds so much worse than getting stabbed and shot because it, like, you get stabbed and shot from the, unless you get riddled or stabbed multiple times. For the most part, you have a wound, but it's in one area. One of your limbs hurts. The other three you can still use. You get mauled, that is just an all-encompassing, like, it's like you went through a paper shredder. All right? I don't need that. So we're about half hour into the hike, and I'm like, wow, I'm a half hour into the Rocky Mountains with no fucking weapon, and my guide is a fellow stand-up comedian. So we decide to sit down on these rocks. I'm like, let's sit down, just take a break, because we're fucking winded, because we're middle-aged guys, we're out of shape, and we're a mile high, right, in Denver or whatever, Boulder. So we sit down on these rocks, and I'm like nervous, looking around, making sure there's nothing deciding to fucking pounce on me, and all of a sudden I hear a car drive by, and I'm like, what the fuck? And like 100 yards away, there's like a road. And then I looked over another 20 feet, and there was like a picnic table. So evidently, this fucking trail we were going on, this isn't like some deep forest shit. Like, we pulled off the road. Evidently, we could have just kept driving and gone all the way up to the top. So in the trail we're on, crosses the road a couple of times. So we're totally fine for the most part. So I see the picnic table, and I point at it to Jason. We just start fucking laughing because we're sitting down on these rocks like we're Lewis and Clark, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and we're fucking, we're right there. We're in the middle of civilization. Long story short, we get all the way up to the top. We're standing on these rocks. We're looking down. Actually looking down into, was it Finley Stadium or whatever, where the Buffaloes play. Absolutely gorgeous. We're so high up, we could see to Denver, the skyline in Denver. It was fucking awesome. So we start walking back, and we're coming down the trail, and it's, you know, really loose kind of dirt. And we keep slipping, but we're all right, you know. We keep regaining our balance. And at one point, Lawhead slips to the point where I thought he was going down, and he was able to recover. You know, he was an athlete. And I said, hey, that was nice. You can see, you know, you played hoop. You got an athletic background. I said, had you been Joe DeRosa, I'd be carrying you down off the mountain. And we were sitting there laughing at Joe, right? Because that's the kind of friend I am. I throw my friends under the bus when they're not there to defend themselves. So, wouldn't you know, karma comes back and bites me in the ass like a fucking minute later. I'm standing there taking a picture or something. And I go and I take a step or two, dude. And I'm telling you, it's like somebody took my legs out. I don't even know what happened. I just fell. And I landed on a rock. Like, first of all, my elbow scraped first on my right arm. And it pushed my... It like hyperextended, like I almost snapped my fucking humerus. And all I was doing was falling from a standing position down to the ground in the dirt. But there just happened to be this fucking rock there. And I think I would have broke it. But fortunately, the rest of my body hit the other part of the rock. Basically, just imagine jumping up in the air so you're horizontal and then just landing on the rock with like a baseball sized part of your back. Dude, I wish I could recreate the fucking noise I made. And that was it. I was just down. And I was down for like a good 10 seconds. You know, like when somebody gets knocked out or knocked down when they're boxing and they kind of sit back up at 4 seconds, but they wait till the 9.5 second mark to fucking stand back up. That's what I did. And Lawhead was going like, dude, you all right? You all right? And I kept saying, yeah, and I wasn't. And so I start walking down the hill. And I'm kind of laughing because I feel like a fucking idiot. But laughing at this point hurts because I guess you use those muscles in your back. And I don't know, about 30 seconds later, Lawhead's going, yeah, dude, I can see blood coming through your fucking T-shirt. And, yeah, it was gross. By the time I got down to the bottom, like, my fucking T-shirt was, like, stuck to my back. And, you know, but it wasn't bleeding profusely. It was more like, the cut was more like a scrape. Because after I landed on the rock, I then slid down it. So I lifted up my shirt, and I go, how bad is it? And I knew it was going to be bad because I knew what I did. And not to mention, I'm a pasty fucking redhead. And we don't bruise. We look like, you know, where somebody with pigment would look like they had a bad bruise. We look like we got bitten by like a fucking Mako shark. That's basically what I look like. You know, I shook it off. Went to the pharmacy. Got some Neosporin. Slapped it on my elbow. Left it off the back. Figured the back was fine. And then I went and I got a salad. And that was my fucking Denver story. How was that? So my back has been killing me the last couple of days. And it's weird. The only time it hurts is when I go to stand up. I got to make a noise. I'll make the noise for you here. Let me see if I can get it. It hurts. Oh, of course, now it doesn't hurt. I think I did it. I freed it up. All right. That was like Geraldo looking into that safe. Sorry about that. Anyways, let's get to some fucking advertising for this week, everyone. I know this is kind of a disjointed podcast this week because I got up early. Where the fuck is it? Oh, for Christ's sake, Bill. Come on. Come on. Can we do this? All right. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. You know, there are so many things in the world that irritate me. You know, slipping, falling on a rock, inconsiderate cunts. The fact that I have a motorcycle license, but I'm too scared to get one and drive one down the street. Well, actually, no. You know what? Considering what just happened to me from a standing position, I can't imagine going 40 miles an hour and falling on the tar. That bugs me. Not being able to gas your own people. You know, what's the world coming to? When so many things can irritate you, why add razors to the list? It's time to stop milking your razor blade. I know with brand name razors, you're used to paying outrageous prices. And so then you exhaust those razors until they start to look like a rusty soda can. It's time to move on, everybody. Dollar Shave Club delivers amazing quality blades to your door for just a few bucks a month. Never think about it again. They send a pack every month so you can change your blades every week. I love these guys, and your face is going to love them too. They've always got a... come on, Bill. They always got a new product. Oh, they also... got a new product called One Wipe Charlie's. It's a butt wipe for men, and it's classy, as opposed to those unclassy butt wipes. You know the ones I'm talking about. Check out the video for that and sign up for your razors today. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. Or go to billburr.com and click the Dollar Shave Club banner. And what's next? Hulu Plus, everyone. I'm sure you've tried Hulu.com, but I want to tell you about Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere. Stream it on your TV or go with your smartphone or tablet. Why stand in line or ride a train and just stare at your feet? You could be watching your favorite shows on Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus is a great way to binge watch your favorite shows, too. Hulu Plus has tons of episodes from great comedies like SNL, Community, Modern Family, South Park, Family Guy, and thousands of other shows. Plus, it's only $7.99 a month. That's $7.99 for all the shows and movies you can watch. Catch up on current shows, binge on an old favorite, or catch a great movie. You can do it all on Hulu Plus. Right now, you can try Hulu Plus for a couple of weeks free on me when you go to the podcast page at billburr.com and click on the Hulu Plus banner or go to huluplus.com/bill. Please make sure you use the huluplus.com/bill link so you can get an extended free trial and so they know that we sent you. Helps make us a little bit of money, right? Puts Fruit Loops on my table and gives you a great deal. One more time for extended free trial, huluplus.com/bill. What else do we got here? Yeah, that's it. That's good for the advertising for the moment. You know what I touched on there? I mentioned some of that Syria stuff about them. So Syria. Are you Syria? I mentioned that, you know, what's the deal there? That they got a little... they're getting some shit there for gassing their own people. I don't understand that whole thing. If you don't sign a treaty saying that you're not going to gas other people, or I guess maybe they did. I tried to figure out whether they did or not, and I got onto this colored map of the world where they had people who signed it and said to hell with it, and people who never signed it, and then people who sort of signed it. And there was all these colors and these graphs. I can't figure out if they signed it or not. But let's just say for the sake of the argument that they went to the Geneva Protocol in 1949 and they decided that they were going to sign that thing and they weren't going to gas people. Now, as far as how it's written, isn't it written that basically you're not going to get, you don't gas our people and we won't gas your people? But is there anything in there that says you can't gas your own people? I'm not saying you should do it, but those are your people. Right? Like if I go out and buy myself a new outfit, you know, to show off my figure, there's nothing preventing me says I can't go out and go jump in a mud puddle, right? This is my fucking clothes. Now, if I take those clothes off and then throw them in some old lady's face, now there's a problem. But if I just roll around in that mud puddle, I'm just doing damage to myself, aren't I? I don't fucking know. How dumb do I sound right now? Well, you know what? You're dumb too. Fuck you. It's a legitimate question. I don't understand why you can't gas people. You can't do that, but you can fucking firebomb cities and you can strafe people. You know, you can do area bombing. Oops, did that land on a nursery with babies? Why can you do that? You know what it is? I think it's too easy. I get it. Chemical weaponry, that's like the PEDs of mass murder. All right? Don't just send. That's what it is. Being able to gas people, that's like everybody gets their own ribbon. Okay, you know what? I worked it out. You don't need to write in. But if you want to write in, I'd love to talk about it. Something fucking different. Hey, did you see that story ESPN had that they ran with, I guess, very little facts, at least according to the very pissed off woman that I read her little article about it. They were trying to claim that Bobby Riggs threw that match against Billie Jean King. I'm showing my age here. I mean, I don't remember when this shit happened, but back in the 70s, they had the Battle of the Sexes. And Bobby Riggs, a former champion, 55 fucking years old, plays Billie Jean King, 29, the number one seeded women's player in the world at the time. And he played her, and he lost. And evidently, that was some sort of big thing for women, that a woman in her prime could beat an old man at tennis. So now somebody was trying to claim that was fixed. It sounded like bullshit, that he threw the match because they're saying that I guess he played the number two woman in the world and beat her handily. But there's a big difference between number two and number one, as you saw yesterday with Serena and what's-her-face that she played. They fucking battled for the first two sets, and then Serena just took over, was like, fuck this. You know what's so fucking hilarious about Serena Williams is when she's playing tennis, I swear to God, it's just like she doesn't make too many noises, but she just looks like I would duck if she hit the ball, you know? It's like a fucking linebacker out there, right? But then the second she wins the match, she turns into a girl again, like, oh, my God. She puts, like, her one hand up and starts waving, jumping up and down, really girly-like. But when she's playing the game, I swear to God, it's like you could, she could fucking kill somebody. So she's playing this other lady, and I'm telling you, they were playing like dudes. There was some volleys. A couple times they went to the net, but pretty much they were just at the baseline, just power shots, fucking home run hits. I'll tell you, I was watching the Packers 49ers, and I started flipping over just to see, you know, I mean, how often do you get to see a legend playing? I mean, she just won her 18th major, I think. So she's closing in on Steffi Graf. And then after Steffi Graf is that Australian broad. I forget her name. I know the guy. What is it? Not Stan Smith. Rod Laver. He's won the most of any guy. What the fuck's her name? Margaret or Meg? She's got some, one of those old people fucking M names. So she's closing in on her. So I wanted to watch a little bit of that. It was a fucking great match. How the fuck did I get onto this? But whatever. That, you know, that's always bugged me. That Bobby Riggs thing. When Billie Jean beat Bobby Riggs like that proved something. See, women in the prime of their life are just as good as men whose dicks don't really work anymore. And are in the early stages of prostate cancer. They can beat us at badminton. A faster game of badminton. So, I don't know. So some woman wrote this article. You know, it doesn't matter whether it was fixed or not. It doesn't matter anymore. Like, the problem with women is they actually give a shit what guys say. You got to be like guys. If you really want to become free of men, this is what you have to do. Two things. You have to stop giving a fuck what we say. You have to talk down to us more. And then what you have to do is you have to start your own shit. The problem with women, how many am I pissing off right now, is you keep trying to join our shit. You know, we have a gym, we have the Water Buffaloes Club, and there's no women allowed. You should be like, great, get the fuck out of the house, go down there. The same way we would. Do you think we give a fuck that you have a women's only gym? Go down there. Do a double session. Get the fuck out of here. I don't care. Especially now with all these great ways of taping TV, you can watch all these fucking games. By all means, you know, beat it. Beat it! Right? You don't, just get out of here. You guys, you got to start having that fucking attitude. Because that's the genius of guys. Is we act like we don't give a fuck about you. But we do. But we act like we don't. And we act like what we're going to go do, we're excited about it. And you guys drink that Kool-Aid and you actually think what we're doing is exciting. So you want to become a part of it. You want to join our dumb gyms, right? You want to join our fucking golf clubs because you think there's something going on that you think you're actually missing out on something. You're not. It's a bunch of stupid guys walking around scratching their dicks every other fucking sentence. Why would you want to be around that? I don't want to be about a bunch of women. Like, I don't even know what you guys talk about. To me, it sounds like a bunch of birds fighting over a French fry. I don't want to listen to that shit. All right? I love how like I'm berating you guys out of fucking nowhere. I thought I was beyond this in my life. Evidently, I'm not. All right, let's plow ahead here, everybody. You know what I did this week? I really watched the offensive line of the New England Patriots. That's what I did. And I actually liked what I saw, man. I thought they were protecting Tom really well. And I think if you're a true football fan, if you're a true fan of your team, you should know your offensive line to the point where you actually recognize them when they go down the street. You know, if you actually know what Ryan Wendell looks like, or Dan Conley, Logan Mankins. Nobody knows these fucking guys. Nate Solder. I don't know if they're saying their fucking names right, because you never hear them. You know why? Because they never get busted for holding. Sebastian Vollmer, right? I actually paid attention to the offensive line this week. It was the first time in 30 years of watching football, 35 fucking years. I actually noticed in the huddle how they're lined up, how the offensive line is lined up, where they just turn right around. They're right in position. And it's like, of course they are, Bill, you dumb fuck. The clock is ticking. What do you think? They just all go into the huddle all willy-nilly? Is that because you never played organized football? I played for a few weeks. I actually played for a few weeks. This is kind of a sad story. And then Daryl Stingley got paralyzed. And my parents got freaked out. And actually, I got to tell you, they had the foresight to see what I was doing in my brain playing football. And they also saw my athletic ability. So it's just like, you know, they were like, he's already kind of dumb. And he's not the most athletic person. So why would we want him to sit here smashing his head into another third grader's head? Let's have him play baseball.
Take me out to the ball game.
Hey, how about those Red Sox, huh? God damn it. I wish I was watching baseball this year. You know how excited I would be? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to jump on the bandwagon come October. I always watch October baseball anyways. I love it. Like, I don't know if they have extra microphones or whatever, but there's just the sounds of the ballpark is better. But, you know, taking 3 out of 4 from the Yankees, that's pretty fucking impressive. And I really am kind of amazed at the fact that that trade with the Dodgers worked out for both teams. That's so rare in a blockbuster trade that it works for both people. That should have been, like, great for one team and horrific for the other, or it should have just sucked for both teams. Like, that's what usually happens in a blockbuster trade. It either works for nobody. Bill, you just said it. You don't need to repeat it. But very rare does it work out for both teams. I don't know why those superstars started playing for the Dodgers, but I'm glad they did. I've always liked the Dodgers. And I'm glad that we saved a bunch of fucking money, and whoever the hell we have on our team is evidently playing fucking great. Could I say evidently one more fucking time on this podcast? Evidently I can. Let's plow ahead here. I was watching some great YouTube videos last night. I've become obsessed. Let me see. I don't even know his fucking name. It's great. I've become obsessed with him, and I don't even know his fucking name. Where the hell is it? Ah, for God's sakes. What the fuck is this guy's name? You know what? This is why right here. I at some point need to bring somebody else into the fucking fold so I can actually. Where is it? Here we go. Put this on here. And then we hit mute so I don't have to pay any money for the fucking song. Where the God damn it. Oh, there it is. I've become obsessed with this drummer, James Gadson. He basically, a lot of people, if you're a Bill Withers fan, I highly recommend downloading Still Bill. It's an incredible fucking album. Bill Withers is one of the greatest singers of all time. And I also think unbelievably underrated as a singer. And he's got this killer drummer, James Gadson. And just, I don't know, that guy just doesn't get the attention he deserves. So long story short, I started, you know, YouTubing him and watching him playing. There's not a lot of stuff on him. There's a lot of videos and shit of interviews with him. And that led me to one of those great YouTube runs where you don't end up on a slap fight. You actually start to learn stuff. And I came across this other drummer, like Fred Bello, or I don't know how to say his fucking name, which led me to this concert film. And Otis Rush singing I Can't Quit You Baby that Led Zeppelin did a remake of called I Can't Quit You Babe as opposed to I Can't Quit You Baby. So that's how they switched it up. And then that's why they never paid Otis Rush until they settled out of court. I don't know if that's true, if they had to settle out of court with him. I know they had to do that a couple of times. But Otis Rush, one of the greatest live singers I ever heard, and he plays guitar left-handed, and he doesn't string it. He plays a right-handed guitar upside down and did not string it the other way. He just plays it upside down, strung right-handed. And the only other guy I knew who did that was Dick Dale. I didn't know there was someone else who did it, but he's fucking unbelievable. And I'm going to send you a link to this concert film on the podcast this week, because you really should see it and should know about this guy in case you don't know about him. And also, I want to know what concert this is, if anybody has any information on it, and how somehow I can watch the whole concert, because it's crazy. It starts with, you know, this older black dude who's like playing like boogie-woogie piano, and you see he's part of that generation. And then it kind of leads into these guys who are more R&B guys, and it's right before, I don't know, it seems it's like right around that time, right as James Brown was coming out or whatever. But it's just a great period where people can actually play music and shit, play instruments and sing live. It's fucking awesome. And then they're playing, performing, of course, to this horrific white crowd that is just sitting there like their entire lives have been mapped out in front of them, and they made no decisions and they have no passion in life. I don't know what it is. It's fucking embarrassing, but it's incredible concert footage. All right, I'm done running my fucking mouth. Let's go to some of your questions and information this week. I got a ton of shit last week by saying a pork shoulder was actually the ass of the pig. I guess it actually is the shoulder. I guess a Christmas ham is the ass. Or you can eat it on Thanksgiving. Just a ham is the ass of the pig. So this guy says, Bill, I love your podcast. I'm a former butcher, and I wanted to correct you on your smoked shoulder comment on yesterday's podcast. A pork shoulder is the front shoulder on a pig. The confusing part is they are also called pork butts. It's not the butt. The butt of the pig is the ham. Hope this helps. Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Can you write back? Why do they call it a butt then? I have no idea. Why do they call it that? All I know is it's fucking delicious. As is the ass of the pig. I eat the whole fucking pig. Wherever the fuck the bacon is. You know, do they have classes like that? Do they have a class that teaches you how to butcher an animal? In case, you know, whenever the dollar collapses and I'm out there. I mean, I know how to shoot a bow and arrow now. I know how to fucking gut a fish pretty well. But I'd like to know how to fucking shoot a wild pig. Hey, fuck this. I'm on the Billy Red State tour, people. I'm coming out to El Paso. I'm coming out to San Antonio. If anybody out there goes wild boar hunting, I want to do that shit. I want to do it. But I don't want to fucking kill one just for the sake of killing it. All right? I want to fucking kill it. Clean it, do the whole fucking thing. You make me do all of this shit. I know animal lovers out there probably don't like it. I'm doing it not to do it all the fucking time. I want to have that skill. All right? I want to become MacGyver. I want to know how to, I already know how to shoot a fish with a bow and arrow, sort of. Okay? I know how to load a gun and shoot it, sort of. I got some vegetables growing around my house, kinda. So if I know how to take down a fucking pig and gut that fucking thing, it's got to translate to a goddamn deer, right? Sort of the same shit, I would think. And then all I need to do is get a helicopter license, and I'm good to go. I know how to ride a motorcycle now. You see what I'm saying? So you got fucking, if you have a helicopter, that like, what I love about the helicopter is you just go right up. You can escape so easily. It's almost like you literally know how to fly. We're like, you know, with an airplane, you need that run and start. You know? I don't fucking know. But anyways, if somebody wants to take me wild boar hunting, I would fucking do that in a second. I'd go down to L.L. Bean and show up with my brand new I'm going hunting shit, looking like fucking, you know, like those old Vietnam movies when you first get there and you buckle your chin strap to your helmet and then all the grizzled veterans tell you not to do it because the concussive force of the shells is going to blow your fucking head off. That type of stuff. Bill, what are you talking about? I don't know. I want to shoot a pig. You know how fucking great that would be? Take that fucker down. Right? Take that fucker down. Clean it. Bring the fucking meat home and then smoke it on my fucking grill. How much of a man I would feel. Like how much cowardice I could fucking push down that I have. The pussy part of me would really be shut down. and I wouldn't have to listen to those voices in my head. And for a few minutes, I could actually act like I was actually a stud. Hey, fuck you. I have my dreams. You know? All right, whatever. 40 minutes in. Here we go. It's time to read some of your letters. Seriously, fuck your American sports. Another positive email here. Hi, Bill. Big fan. Got tickets to see you in London in December. I got to take a time out here. The response to some of my shows, pretty much all of them over there, has been unbelievable in Europe. And I can't thank you guys enough. We added a show in London, added a show in Helsinki. How crazy is that? And some promoter in Estonia just asked me to add. I'm not going to be able to do it this time, but I'm doing it next time. And it's been unbelievable. So I'm really, really excited to go over there. I'm going to, and this time, rather than just going there and landing and, you know, being a zombie during the day, I'm coming over like three, four days early to get acclimated. I'm going to actually go to Italy. I haven't decided where yet, but I'm just going to go there and eat. And I'm going to try and see an opera when I'm there in some old opera house. I don't have too much time to go there. I don't think I want to go to Rome and go to see the Roman Colosseum. I feel like that's going to Times Square. That's what I've learned in my travel. You go to New Orleans, I guess you have to see Bourbon Street, but you really don't want to be down there. That's just a bunch of drunk tourists. What you want to go down is, you know what? I'm not going to tell you the cool places to go. You got to go there and talk to the locals, because I don't want to fuck up the locals' good places to go. It's kind of like, you know, I stayed at one of the greatest fucking hotels I've ever stayed at when I was in Colorado. And I'm not going to tell you guys where it is, because I don't want to ruin it. If you just, by dumb luck, discover it, it was fucking amazing. We stayed at this place. And for dinner, we had lamb and elk. And it was this quiet town off the beaten path. And they had this little fucking bar that we went to, where like the bartender wasn't even behind the bar. She was over in the middle of shooting pool, one of those kinds of things. And for the first time in my life, like, country music made sense. I finally realized, I knew Willie Nelson was good. I didn't know he was that good. All right? And I went up to the fucking jukebox, and I just started every fucking legendary country guy that I knew. You know, I threw in a couple of fucking rock songs or whatever, but, you know, Merle Haggard, all these guys. And I wouldn't pick, they'd have their greatest hits. I wouldn't go off that. I'd pick a different album, then pick like the third track rather than the first track, because they usually lead with the radio hit. I wanted to hear something different, dude, and I fucking loved it. So, but then what was weird, I got to L.A. and I tried to download some Willie Nelson and it didn't feel the same way, you know? So I'm going to download some of that shit for my drive from El Paso to San Antonio this week, playing El Paso on Thursday. And then San Antonio on Friday. There's still some tickets left in El Paso. I mean, they picked a really big place because it was either play a little place or there was they didn't have the middle ground one. So we just picked a big place. I don't know if they're going to close out the balcony or whatever, but there's definitely tickets left. But then after that, I drive down to San Antonio. Listen to this fucking amazing week. And then Saturday, I'm hanging around. And I'm going, me and Verzi are going on, a couple other buddies. We're going to go to the Texas A&M Alabama game. Going to go see Johnny Football go up against one of the great fucking college football teams. I mean, the run that Alabama's on is fucking insane. Being an LSU fan, it fucking annoys the shit out of me. But you can't not appreciate it. So we're going to go to that game, and that's going to be our week. So anyways... So I'm trying to do more of that type of stuff when I do the road. And as a comic, it's great because you get excited to go on the road when you plan shit like that. And if you're excited, you don't dry up. You just don't start hating your act. And you don't end up like just saying, fuck it, and hosting a game show. Not to say there's anything wrong with that. And not to say that I would never host a game show. There might become a point in my fucking career where I just can't do it anymore. And I'll go on and I'll fucking host Card Sharks. The new Card Sharks with Bill Burr. All of it higher. You're going to risk all of it. Here we go. I mean, that could be fun. You know what's great about being a game show host? You know you got a fucking fat-ass fucking house with an in-ground pool. And at that point, who gives a shit, right? And every fucking woman who comes on the show, they make you feel special. Oh, my God, I watch your show every day. Fucking kiss you on the cheek. Or you can be a pervert like Richard Dawson and kiss him on the mouth. Remember him? Who knows? I might do that when I get a little older. But I still got some fight in me, all right? This business hasn't dragged me in the boat yet. I'm on the hook, without a doubt. They're reeling me in, but I'm not on the boat yet. They haven't fucking clubbed me yet. So that's my thing. I'm going to go to fucking Italy, and I'm going to go see an opera. Bring a little fucking handkerchief there and hope it moves me. Rather than sitting there going like, dude, I don't get what they're talking about. Why is he so fat? Dude, that skinny chick would never hook up with that fat guy. I don't want to be that dude. So anyways, let's get to the question here. I'm in the UK. I listen to your podcast, and I hear the names of these little teams and games that you have there. So last night, I'm going to bed, and I've been slowly growing this tiny amount of gambling money, just small change, just for fun, and I thought I'd drop it on a banker that was played while I slept. And I have a little bit of interest in the morning. Okay, this guy, I like this guy. He's doing his little train spotting slang here, and I'm trying to figure it out. Drop it on a banker means you want to put money on the game. So you're putting up money on a game overseas, and while you're sleeping, you're going to wake up and see if you made any money or not. Wow, dude, you just took gambling to a whole other. You're a fucking international gambler. Dude, do you have like a fucking white tuxedo that you get up and put on like Roger Moore? That's kind of fucking fun. That's actually, you know, for people who have a serious gambling problem, they probably didn't need to know that, because the only time a serious gambler's not gambling is probably when he's going to sleep. This motherfucker is in so goddamn deep, he figured out a way to do it. I commend you, and I also feel bad for you, sir. That's fucking amazing. So anyways, he goes, I went to my bookmaker's site and saw the Yankees beating the Red Sox 8-3. They were giving odds on the Red Sox 9-1. In a two-horse race, and a 1-100 on the Yankees. So I put the equivalent of $30 on the Yankees and thought, fuck, it's an extra 30 cents I'll have in the morning. So wait a minute, you can bet on a game that's already going. So it's 8-3. Dude, why wouldn't you have taken the fucking... Oh, you did take the Yankees, right? Wait, the Yankees were beating the Red Sox 8-3. I'm dumb, people. I got to work this out. They were giving odds on the Red Sox 9-1. Okay, so you got to put up $900 to make 100 at that point, or $9 to make one bill. They took out the zeros. They tried to make it easy for you. And then the Yankees, you throw down a dollar, you can make 100. So you said, fuck it. There's no way the Yankees are going to lose. And let's see, you could have made 30 cents. You put down, what, $300? Is that how it works? Or did you put down $3? You put down $3, you cheap fuck. You bitching about $3? Fuck, I don't know what's going on in this. So anyways, he said, what the fuck sort of Mickey Mouse bullshit team are the Yankees to fuck that up so bad? It's brutal. Losing $30. Losing $30 trying to win 30 cents. Dude, the math doesn't... Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. 30 cents. Imagine, I could be fighting in a war alongside you guys with a bag of live hand grenades on my back. Yeah, dude, I don't know how you made the leap from fucking that game to fighting in a war. I don't know. What kind of fucking asshole goes to sleep trying to make 30 cents? Serves you right, you cheap fucker. You should have bet the underdog. Wait, you did. No, you didn't. You bet the favorite. Well, you know what your deal is? You guys overseas, all you know is the Yankees. The same way over here, all we know is, what the fuck are they? Man United. That's the only team we know. I mean, I know some of the Arsenal, I don't even know what it is, Liverpool, but I don't know what they're called. I just know Man United. Manchester United, that's all I fucking know. And you know what? I don't like them because they're shits over here, and they're like the fucking... I don't know. I don't like the team that everybody likes. You know, fuck them. So I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry you lost $30 trying to make 30 cents. Would that even buy you half a fucking cup of tea or whatever the fuck you're going to do over there? Buy you one chip for your fish and chip fucking breakfast? Anyways, but either way, dude, thanks for buying tickets to the London show. Like I said, it really is humbling to have that, if I can use that fucking phrase without getting trashed. It really is that people over there give a shit and want to come out. So I hope I'm funny. All right, Ken Burns. Dear Billy Boy, I heard you talking about the Ken Burns documentary recently and wanted you to turn you on to one of his documentaries that I have yet to see, but I hear is great. And for those of you who haven't been listening the past few weeks, I've been slowly, when I have the time, getting through Ken Burns' The War. It's all about World War II. I think I'm through 5 episodes. It's a 7-part series, and it is absolutely fucking incredible. The footage, I think a lot of the footage, like they wouldn't show for the longest time. Like he really shows the it's not a propaganda film, put it that way. It's an absolutely astounding thing to watch. It's so amazing. It's actually caused me to, I'm starting to read, not only read, but read about the war. And for a dummy like me to actually want to go out and start reading books. Although I had to take a break because it was so fucking heavy, some of the shit. Right now I'm reading that guy from Ministry. I'm reading his autobiography. And if you want to feel better about some of the choices you've made in life, like maybe you think, ah, I'm a piece of shit, I did this, I did that, I partied too much, you got to read this guy's book. You're going to feel like you don't have any sort of substance abuse problem. I'm not shitting on the guy. The guy's a fucking genius. And I'm totally late to the party when it comes to great music from the 80s. I listened to so much shit music in the 80s, and I completely missed out on all this amazing stuff that was going on, Ministry being one of them. And what's funny is the song that I like the best, he hates and says he hates it because the people who like it are like people who are into metal. It's Stigmata. I fucking love it. And I like it because it sounds like a metal song with all this industrial shit going. I don't even know anything about it. He would cringe if he heard any of this. But I actually had to put the book down and started laughing because he totally called me out as I'm reading the book. He was saying that it was just a throwaway song. But anyways, it's on this album called The Land of Rape and Honey, which is a fucking classic. And I never heard anything about it because I was listening to Motley Crue, Theater of Pain, when that came out. So he says, let me get back to this. So he says, Ken Burns has another great documentary. By the way, I'm watching all of Ken Burns' documentaries on Netflix. I'm doing Civil War next, but this guy's actually suggesting, there's a new one called Prohibition. He goes, I haven't seen it yet because I'm in the middle of a book about Prohibition, but I find the whole subject fascinating. Not only because it talks about how the majority of the working class were drunks, but it gets all into the politics and cultural issues associated with drinking back in the day and how the breweries changed America. Also, there are many similarities to the whole weed movement we see nowadays. Did you ever find yourself in a dry county or a state where you can't find beer in the grocery store? Well, some of our alcohol-related laws can be traced back to Prohibition and the crazy shit that caused it. Our drunken forefathers, you know what's funny, dude? You're just like me. You spelled forefathers, F-O-U-R, as in 1, 2, 3, 4. Isn't it F-O-R-E? I don't fucking know. Our drunken forefathers would get out of their industrial jobs at the end of the day, look to decompress a bit, and stay in pubs all night. Soon enough, these guys started bringing home STDs to their wives and banging all the whores that also stayed in the pubs all night. Their wives started getting upset, and fast forward a bit, and then you have Prohibition. Some guys just ruin it for everyone. Really? Well, I knew it kind of came out of the church. I didn't know that. I just heard somebody say that, and I took it as law. Thanks for the heads up. And thanks to everybody. Seriously, when you guys write in, you actually have, I know we fuck around a lot of this thing, but when you have something that will actually make you a more informed person or actually it's a great piece of entertainment, please send it my way because I would like to do, rather than just give out bad advice to you guys, I would like to actually try to make your lives a little bit better on some level. And you know what? Here's a great way to make your lives better, people. LegalZoom.
Oh, what
a segue.
Snuck that one in on you, didn't I? Can you tell I've been up since 5 in the morning? I can't even talk. A lot of pride, LegalZoom, everybody. A lot of pride comes along with starting your own dream business. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, LegalZoom. But think about the stress you feel if you don't take the right steps to legally protect your business and personal assets from the beginning. That's why I, William Burr, recommend LegalZoom.com. During the past 12 years, over a million business owners have trusted LegalZoom to help start their business. LegalZoom will save you a lot of time and money. Not only money, a pile of money on startup costs. Plus, they'll provide solutions to help you run a successful business. LegalZoom can provide self-help services at your specific direction or connect you with an attorney. But they are not a law firm, just to let you know. Just go to LegalZoom.com today to see what what's right for you. Form an LLC, get a DBA, incorporate, or form a nonprofit, all starting at just $99. Plus, you'll save even more when you enter Burr, B-U-R-R, in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr. One more time, LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr. Is that it? Oh, no, I missed one here. E-Voice, everyone. If you're an entrepreneur and a customer calls, do you want to seem like you're in a high-rise window view? Let's start this one again, shall we? Let's give E-Voice the read they deserve. E-Voice, everybody. If you're an entrepreneur and a customer calls, do you want to seem like you're in a high-rise window view fancy pants office, or do you want them to know you're sitting in your underwear? I think that's an easy one, right? With your E-Voice, you can create the appearance of an entire building. Sales, customer support, tech support, you name it, it's going to seem like you have it. Give your customers the royal treatment with eVoice. eVoice will forward business calls to your home, mobile, or any number you choose. Wherever you are, eVoice will find you. Don't have time to take a call? No problem. It's routed to your voicemail, and you can read it at your convenience as an email if you like. eVoice not only gives you an edge over your competitors, it takes away the edge the big companies have over you right now. And now, you can try eVoice for free for 30 days, one whole month, unless it's a month of 31 days, but they make it up in February. Go to eVoice.com and use promo code Bill, B-I-L-L, that's eVoice.com, promo code Bill. Or just go to the podcast page at BillBurr.com and click on the eVoice banner. And there you go. Those are the ads for this week. All right, let's get back to some of your questions here or your information. Hairy Situation is what this one is called. All right, what are you guys thinking? Hairy Situation, he either did something he shouldn't have done and he's waiting for the other shoe to drop, or he hooked up with a beautiful girl who's going, oh, natural. Oh, Jesus. All right. Hey, Bill, funny show. Great. That's what he just started with. No punctuation whatsoever. Hey, Bill, funny show. Great. All right, maybe this guy's from overseas. Or maybe he's down south and you can make it there by land. Who knows? He goes, I have a question for your MM podcast. My girlfriend, who I have lived with for the last 7 years, is starting to constantly ask me to shave my chest. Oh, I went the other way. Oh, you went the other way. I'm pretty hairy. But not fucking Chewbacca Harry, just mainly my chest. This is not a problem, but sometimes she won't have sex with me until I do. Whoa. All right. That's okay. That's red flag number one for me. Unless you're not perceptive as to how hairy your chest is. It can take over an hour to do properly, and sometimes I can't be fucked after a hard day's work. So I just rub one out. I know times change because in the 70s, Harry was sexy, but now every pop star is starting to look more like a woman. I swear, Justin Bieber is prettier than half the women I've banged. What do you think? Yeah, that whole Manscaped looked, I guess, is supposed to be in. I have no idea, but I find it odd. I don't find it odd that you're girlfriend is asking you to, maybe trim down your chest a little bit. But the fact that she won't even have sex with you, I don't know. What happened? Did some pervert with the fucking full chest of hair fucking lay down on top of her and do something to her? Like, that's kind of weird to me. Like, how do you think she would feel if you were like, hey, can you, I don't know, trim up here or there, or I literally can't have sex with you? That's kind of fucked up. She's really making you jump through some hoops there. So you're either way hairier than you're letting on. I get women being grossed out by back hair. You know, especially those guys who have it like up on their shoulders and then they just have like the two patches just above the kidney and just below the shoulder blade. There's those two like they got, I don't know, like they got hugged by someone who jerked off too much. I would sit down with her and just be like, listen, I'm not going to say I'm not going to fucking shave my chest, but it's kind of weird to me that if I don't, you don't even find me sexually attractive. I mean, what are you having sex with my chest or are you into me? I mean, I could see if this is a one night stand. You're like, listen, I'm into this. I'm not into that. Do this, do this. And for the love of God, shut the fuck up. All right. And you have your little grocery list on how you need what you need me to do to get you there. I get that. But if I'm in a fucking relationship with you, you know, that's kind of a, but you know, you didn't really even ask that. I don't even know what the fuck you asked me. It takes you an hour to do it. Don't they have like those fucking things you can just kind of, I don't know, that's weird. That's fucking weird to me. I would that would be my biggest concern. I would be asking her, like, what, you can't even have sex with me? I you know what, I understand on your face, because some women have sensitive skin, you know, and, you know, if you're on top of her, missionary style, you know, pumping away. If you're out of shape and you're laying your head right down next to her. They can get a little razor burn on the side of their face. I understand that. If you have like you have like a beard. Or if you have whiskers. I fucking get that shit. Can I just do that again? Well, no, I'm not going to do it because some people, that might hurt your fucking ears. I understand that. But chest hair? Why don't you come up with like a compromise? Be like, all right, how about if my chest is too hairy, we still bang. I just do it doggy style. I promise after I get to where I need to go, I won't collapse down on top of you, making you feel like, you know, Burt Reynolds just got out of the pool and is using you to towel off. I won't do that, okay? Maybe you could do that. Or just sit down with her and just be like, listen, I'm not trying to be a dick here. What is your issue with hairy chests? And because it's, you know, what's funny? I'm getting more weirded out by it than you are. I'm probably putting bad ideas in your head, so I'm just going to shut the fuck up. All right, military history. Oh, this is a great one. Hey, Grateful Red. Ah, I love it. Just when you think they've run out of creative ways. Ah, that's a good one. The past couple of shows, you mentioned you enjoy reading about World War II. Just wanted to give you a couple of recommendations. First, I'd like to mention, before he gets going, I read that book, Fly Boys, which I swear to God is not about boy bands. It was by, I forget who wrote it. Jesus Christ, I'm the worst. The same guy who did Flags of Our Fathers wrote the same thing. Anyways, the past couple of shows you mentioned blah, 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 books on World War II. Want to give you a couple recommendations. First, I'd like to mention Dan Carlin's podcast, Hardcore History. I'm telling you, it's right up your alley. Dude, good call. I'm listening to that. He's covered many aspects of history from the Bronze Age to the relatively modern age. If he can make the Bronze Age, which I don't even know what that is, like, I can't deal with, you know, the only people I can really read about from way back in the day, which is basically anything before cowboys and Indians, is you have to be a mass murdering psychopath. Like, I can read about the Inquisitions, or the Inquisition. I don't fucking know if it's plural or not. I can read about that, Genghis Khan. Or I can read about Attila the Hun, you know, basically the original Scarfaces. I can read about those guys. And but other shit, you know, ancient medieval history and the fucking Lilliputians were going up against the fucking Persian Empire. I don't know. I can't deal with that shit. So if he can make that interesting, I don't know. Maybe I could listen to enough of it and actually sound intelligent. Who knows? So anyways, he says, but I suggest his series, Ghost of the what is that? Ostfront? It's the mind-blowing but little talked about conflict between the Russians and the Germans. Yeah, they really do skip over that. In fact, a lot of few people don't live in this country. A lot of what they talk about in World War II, they do talk about Pearl Harbor, which set the whole thing off. But there's they don't talk even about the Japanese that much. They kind of Pearl Harbor, they were winning at first, Battle of Midway, and then we're dropping the two fucking bombs, and that's it. And then you watch Jaws, and you hear about the Indianapolis, right?
600 men go in the water, 300 come out. Show me the way to go home. And that's all you learn, right?
But they mainly talk about fighting the Germans and mainly D-Day. Basically from France going right into German concentration camp, Schindler's List. All right? Hitler kills himself in the bunker. Game, set, match. Wipe your hands of it. All right? Then we're immediately into the Cold War. But they also ignore, you know, fighting the Germans in Africa, fighting the Italians in Italy there, and how we went about it and all the stuff that happened. And then they certainly don't talk about, all we hear about the Russians is basically they just retreated and they drew them in. And then when the winter came, they just mercilessly hacked them to death all the way back to fucking Berlin. That's all we hear. I didn't know that they were just, first of all, as they were retreating, they were blowing up their own bridges and dams and just scorched earth thing that they did. Literally destroyed their own fucking country so there was nothing there for the Germans. It was fucking brilliant and absolutely fucking ruthless. I would love, you know what? That's something I'm going to do on the road. Thank you very much. What a wonderful suggestion. I got two there. Do you know what's great about those? Both of those will make me more informed and hopefully a better person. Look at you guys, paying it forward. Maybe I can give somebody some good advice here. Well, let me just continue here. It says, incidentally, I discovered your podcast because of him. He was a guest on the Joe Rogan Experience, and I started listening to Joe Rogan regularly, which led me to your glorious show. Oh, isn't that great? Yeah, Rogan's done a lot for me. He really has. When he hyped that Yoko Ono thing I did, that thing was like a year old. And then he talked about it, and then that was it. There was like a zillion people. He has like Oprah Winfrey level power. Like, remember when Oprah Winfrey said, "Hey, man, I don't think you should be eating red meat anymore," and all of Texas declared war on her because she had that level of power? That's what Rogan is in, like, the podcast world. If that fucking guy says, "Hey, check out this thing," all of a sudden, like, it gets a million hits. So I got to do something for him. What do you get for Joe Rogan? I should buy him a new pair of mitts, you know, buy him his fucking vitamins for the week, some sort of workout shit. Nah. He has all of that stuff. I got to go against the grain with Joe Rogan. What should I? You know, I'd buy him a nice sun hat. You know, really thoughtful gift. Like, Joe, I know you have everything that involves choking somebody out or ending their life if they fuck with you on any level, you know? Bob on a nice sun hat. Has anybody done anything to help keep the sun out of that wonderful man's eyes? I don't think they have. And I think he's comfortable enough with himself that he could accept the unbelievably awkward, intimate moment of me handing him that hat. You know what? Next time I do his fucking podcast, I'm bringing him a nice sun hat. You know? I don't know. He might have a convertible. Who knows? Is there such a thing as a sun hat? Is a sun dress? Did I just invent a new fucking hat? There you go, people. Right there. Look at me creating a whole new business. Creating jobs here at the Monday Morning Podcast. Either way, listen to the Joe Rogan Experience. And when you're done doing that, by the way, me and Al Madrigal and some other wonderful people have started the All Things Comedy Network. If you like this podcast, if you'd like to have a nice, incredible, wide variety of podcasts to listen to, I suggest you go to the All Things Comedy Podcast Network and have a listen. Harlan Williams, Tom Papa, Baron Vaughn, Tom Segura, with the fucking, we got all kinds of people. Your Mom's House Podcast, you would think I'd have him in front of me. Minivan Men, there's all kinds of great ones. Harlan's Highway. All right, here we go. From a lady, hiya, Bill. Hiya, kid. Lady listener here. I have two questions in one email. I hope that's all right with you. Well, absolutely. I'm just psyched that a woman actually is listening to this podcast and wants to contribute. I've been asking you guys, borderline begging you, you know, to get out of the kitchen, figure out how a computer works, and send me an email. But you just, you know, you're too busy making a sandwich for the man in your life, which is what you're supposed to do, you know. But, you know, every once in a while, don't be afraid of the computer, ladies. All right, lady listener, okay, the two questions. The first one is about marriage. I'm just wondering, how do you feel about it? I'm only 18, and seeing what it is doing to my parents recently is making me not open to the idea in the future. All right, well, this is the thing. Just because your parents don't seem to have a happy marriage doesn't mean that you can't, all right? I think if you go into being married for the right reasons, and if you're mature enough, which I've never have been, and I've been a fucking complete piece of shit with women and all that type of stuff. And I've been an ass. As your 20s are coming up, you know, as your 20s are coming up, you know, you're going to meet some people that you're going to look at and that you're going to feel like you have a heart attack. And don't fucking walk away from, go up to that person. Just because your parents maybe haven't found true love doesn't mean you can't. And, you know, you can find true love. And then if you work at it and you do the things you're supposed to do, what you'll learn naturally as you get older, you can have a great time. You know, is there anything better than seeing like two old people sitting together and you can see they still have that connection and they literally enjoyed life together? Well, I wish I knew when I was younger how important that was. You know, I'm finally starting to see it through all of my fucking horrific mistakes that I've made in that category. But like, I think you should be open to it. You should be open to, you're 18. You should be open to things. I'm not saying drug use and being promiscuous and that type of thing. Smart shit. I mean, finding love, you should definitely be open to. Not happy, particularly your parents. And you're like, this just seems like a lot of work to just be miserable. That doesn't mean you have to be miserable. All right? There you go. So that's your first one. All right, the second question, she says, is about how and when one should introduce a significant other to parents. Just to give you more information, my boyfriend's 21 and in the last year of college. We've been together for about a year and 5 months. All right, that's some scary math there, depending on what state you're in. Every time I'm going to hang out with him or have a sleepover at his house, I've been making up an excuse like I'm going to a concert that ends really late, going to stay with a friend. I can't seem to work up the nerve to tell either my mom or dad. I am more worried about my dad because he's a fucking big mouth. The whole family would know by the end of the night. When he's drinking on weekends, he likes to bring up conversations just to work on people's nerves in the house. I don't want my boyfriend to be the topic in the house for my dad to get on my nerves with. So do I just go with the if it ain't broke, don't fix it route and keep making shitty excuses until they either find out on their own or I move out of the house? Or do I just work up some balls here and tell them that I have a boyfriend? Well, they're going to find out eventually. And when they find out, you're not going to have control over the situation. So, I kind of got lost there. Were you make up excuses to your parents or to your boyfriend? Let me go back here. My second question is, how do I introduce my boyfriend to my parents? Okay. Every time I'm going to hang out with him or sleep over his house, I've been making up an excuse. Oh, okay. This is what I would do. They are probably, the more you say, I'm going to another concert that's going to end late, they're going to figure it out. How do you introduce your parents to your boyfriend? I would do this. I wouldn't say shit to your parents other than I have a boyfriend now and I want to introduce him to you guys. And I would leave it at that because your parents are your parents and they're going to behave how they behave. And then what I would do is I would give a pregame speech to your boyfriend and be like, look, I love my parents. They're a little bit nuts. And this is the thing too. You're probably going to overreact. You know, like the fear you have of what they're going to do is going to be so much bigger probably than what they're actually going to do. It's because they're your parents, you want their approval, and you fucking hate them all at the same time. And it's going to be like just walking into a store. Like, hello, sir, can I help you? Yes, I'd like that shirt. There you go. That'll be $9.95. Thank you. Goodbye. It's going to be at that level. A little bit more. It's just going to be nice. They're just going to be exchanging niceties. Okay? That's what I'm predicting is going to happen. And then what's going to happen is when your boyfriend leaves, he's going to tell you how nice your parents are. Because why wouldn't you? And then that's probably going to annoy you on some level because you're going to be like, no, they're fucking assholes. You haven't had to live with them, so don't do that to him either. I would take control of the situation and just introduce him. And if they ask how long you've been seeing him, you know, when you first say, hey, I want to introduce my boyfriend to you. And if they ask how long you've been seeing him, I don't know, your dad drinks and he says shit. You might want to lie about that. I don't know. I'll fuck him if he does. Don't lie to him. Say about a year and 5 months. And if they say, well, why haven't you brought him around? Just be like, well, Dad, because you have a tendency to get drunk and talk about everybody's business. And it was really made me nervous. That's why I didn't. You can't fuck with the truth. What's he going to say to that? I don't get drunk and say all that type of shit. I guess he could be in denial. I don't know. At some point, you know what you have to do? You got to like, you got to man up or woman up, and you just have to live your fucking life, and you just have to understand that your parents are your parents. They're fucking awesome, but they're just people, and you just really have to, in a healthy way, not give a fuck what they think anymore. In a healthy way, okay? I don't mean like I said, go out and start doing drugs and being a fucking idiot. You should always care about not bringing shame to your family name. But like, as far as that other stuff, like I wanted you to be a doctor, but you're going to fucking, I don't know, open your own bakery. I'm so disappointed. Well, be disappointed. Okay. Cause I don't want to fucking sit there vacuuming out somebody's ass or looking at somebody's toes or working on a brain, whatever the fuck a doctor does. I want to make Pop-Tarts. All right. That's going to make me happy. If you can't accept that, then I don't have to tell you. All right, people, that is the podcast for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Here's the big old wrap up here. Now that the show is over, don't forget to sign up for your, well, before I do the wrap up, let me hype some of my gigs. Like I said, I'm going to be in El Paso this Thursday night, San Antonio Friday night. The following weekend, I'm going to be in West Virginia, Pittsburgh at the Heinz Theater. And then I'm going to be up in Toronto, Ontario at the Just for Last Festival. And the week after that, I'm going to be doing two shows at the prestigious Chicago Theater in where else? Chicago, Illinois. That's what I got coming up. All right. Then I know I got a San Jose, Seattle, Arizona run in the beginning of October. That's it. All right. Okay. There you go. That's the podcast for this week. If you like my comedy, please download my special off my podcast, off my website. And if you'd like a hard copy version, you can also get that. It makes a wonderful gift, especially for someone that you don't really give a shit about, but you have to get him a gift. Give him a fucking DVD. All right, here's the wrap up, everybody. Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere, on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast once again and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to the podcast page at BillBurr.com and click on the Hulu Plus banner or go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. Once again, that's HuluPlus.com/Bill. Thank you for listening. That's the podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves, and I'll talk to you next week.